lessons for my son. Welcome. Make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, leave me a comment below on Instagram, on YouTube, on TikTok, although I have to reapply to stream because somehow I think the software that I use needs to be reconnected somehow. So, but Twitch, TikTok, or is that the one that's I have to wait on? LinkedIn or anywhere, wherever you're watching me, thank you for being here. Lessons for my son. So perhaps you are a son, you have a son, you want to have a son one day, etc. So you have a brother, you have a cousin, you have a husband who's a son, obviously. So these are the things that my father taught me, mentors taught me, things maybe I wish someone had taught me that maybe nobody did, that I had to learn on my own. I just took a shower, by the way. Got my PJs here. I feel very fresh. Had a good day today. Kind of tough, actually. Had to deal with some things, but it's all good. So, number one is God. I always start with Jesus because without faith, you can probably go a ways, but eventually you're going to run out of things and out of things to put your faith in. You need a savior. And maybe, here's the thing, there are many names of God. God isn't just savior. He's friend, he's father, he's Lord, he is king, he is provider, he is healer, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Utsi, Jehovah Jireh. There are hundreds of names of God. Elohim, the Lord, Jehovah, the God who heals, Rapha, etc. So I think that to just say that God saves, Jesus saves, you don't always need saving, although I think at some point in life, let's say if you're drowning, right, you need saving. You don't need a friend, you need a saver, a savior. You know what I mean, right? So I think that the understanding of who God is changes, or maybe it grows. So maybe what you need right now is wisdom. So be thou my wisdom, be thou my vision. Maybe you need vision, you need purpose, be thou my purpose. There's a beautiful hymn by a beautiful lady who was blind. I forget her name. It'll come to me. So she wrote this beautiful hymn called Be Thou My Vision, meaning God be my vision. She was blind, and so it makes sense, right? So whatever she needed, God was. So what do you need? That's who God is. Well, I need money. He's not money. Well, he is a provider. Jehovah Jireh means he's a provider. Well, I need a girlfriend. Well, he is closer than a brother. So he is a companion. I'm not saying that he's replacing that husband or wife or girlfriend, but he is a friend that is closer than a brother. You need a parent. Well, he is father. You need a mother. You could say he's father and mother. You could say that he has all the attributes. Now, he's not physical. He's not a human. Jesus obviously was, but he's not on earth. He's not in your house. He is within us through the Holy Spirit. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. One day he'll return. Every knee shall bow. Return. Confess Jesus Christ, Lord. So what do you do? Well, obviously we need relationships. That's number two, is community. Now, good, positive relationships. Not your friends who sleep around, who are getting drunk, who do drugs. Oh, but that's what I want, David. Well, if you're young, you might be in that place where that's what you want, but it's going to destroy you. I was just watching Whitney Houston's kind of biography journey and through her music, and then meeting Bobby Brown, and then she already had a coke addiction apparently, and then with him, the bad boy, it got even worse. Not only did it kill her, but it killed their daughter, who was 22. And guess what? Bobby Brown, the bad boy, is still around. Ironic, huh? But guess what? He grew up without his father. His father never told him he loved him, never told him that he was proud of him. And he was talking to some medium, I don't know, a few months ago. And this medium was saying that his father was saying, I love you, son. And he was Bobby Brown, the new edition guy. Every little step I make was in tears because of that wound. So don't tell me you don't need a friend. Of course you need a friend. I need a friend. But we also need people. I had my father I had him for most of my life, but not in real life, you could say. I only had him till 11, 12 years old. It was a tragedy. I wish I had been with him every day of my life till he passed away. I wish I had him today. I mean, my father would be 80-something. He would still be alive and kicking. How many 80-year-old parents or grandparents do you have? Of course, we all. So that's, but God has provided mentors, godly mentors, friends who are dear friends of 20, 25 years, 30, 40 years. So that's number two, community. But make sure that they are men of God. Women with women, men with men. I don't believe in men having women friends or vice versa. No. Men understand men issues. Women understand women issues. Plus, there's all that polarity stuff that you have to be really careful with. So unless, of course, it's a romantic thing. But anyway, so companionship, including wife and husband. That's why the Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a suitable partner. It's not good for man to be alone, woman to be alone. It's not good. There are many reasons why people end up alone, but it is not good. It is not ideal. It is not whole. I'm not saying you can't be a normal human being alone. Or what if you've lost people, or your husband passed away, or your parents have died, so obviously. But if you're young, again, these are lessons for my son. If you're teens, 20s, find a suitable partner that loves Jesus, that has the same spiritual values as you, primarily. And then, of course, if you like similar things, that's even better. But you don't have to be twins, but a very similar faith. Now, if your faith is weak and in the trash, then get your act together first, young man. Back to number one. Number two, number three. Number three is get your body right, get your car right, get your money right. So those are all now the strengths of a boy, of a son. A boy needs a physical, strong body, working out, eating healthy, sleeping 8 hours, resting, eating healthy food. I know that when you're young, you can eat anything and it doesn't affect you, but it won't help you look better or grow muscle if you eat junk food all the time. You will maybe get fat like us old guys, but it will affect your stamina, your strength, your mind, how sharp you are at school or at work. Get your money right. Your money is your job. You don't have to have a $100,000 paying job. You should at some point, especially these days, but have a job. Work maybe two jobs if you need to. If you're young and full of strength, and why not? Make as much money, learn skills, go to school, and all that deals with money. School or a trade or entrepreneurial stuff, if you really believe all that stuff. I think it's a bunch of lies. Make $1 million online selling beats or drop shipping. Yeah. Get a real job, a mechanic or a doctor or a lawyer, attorney or an astronaut. Just saw the awesome NASA SpaceX thing today. That was awesome. Pursue, be a teacher, be a police officer, be a firefighter, be a professional athlete, be a musician. But only if you feel like you're having success financially now, or at least people are coming to your shows. I'm talking about if you want to go into music or into the arts or into writing or into acting, make sure that people are actually saying, hey, you are amazing. And not just your mom or your friends, but like hundreds of people. You need 1,000 fans. There's this book called 1,000 Fans. You need 1,000 people to support you for you to have a chance at anything. I had 1,000 people love my music when I was in my teens. So I knew that music and speaking was going to be my jam, and it still is to this day. And then your car, that means your stuff. Have a nice car, have a nice watch, dress nice, smell good, get a haircut. Don't be like me. Wash your car, get a nice car that you can afford. Maybe you can have a 2-year, 3-year loan, or just buy a beater car, but wash it, clean it, take it to the shop, Do your own stuff in it, on it. Wash it, vacuum it, take care of your car. People notice what car you drive. Now, eventually people just get used to it. But think of the first time that you saw someone's car. You thought either, oh, junk, or you thought, wow, yeah, old, but it looks nice. My car is old and it doesn't look that nice. Now, I have to say the only thing that it's missing is I don't vacuum it, which is not. Now, I don't have junk in my car. It's pretty clean, but I need to vacuum it more. And then it has this back glass that is not clean enough. I have to replace that bubble stuff, the shade things, whatever, the tint, yeah. It's not a good look. Even at my age, it's not a good look. I probably should buy a new car. I can do it. I should probably, not new, but you know, a newer car. That's a 2004. If you are a young man and all you can afford is a beater car or a bike or a skateboard, get the nicest skateboard, the nicest bike, the nicest clothes that you can wear. Smell good, take showers, be clean, have nice things. Clean your room. If you're into surfing, if you're into music, if you work nights at a restaurant or construction, wear nice boots, wear nice gloves. Be the best looking young man in your room, in your class, at school, at work, whatever it is, church. That's number three. Number four, we're moving kind of up the pyramid here. So it goes in foundation, number two, finish. I would say the last thing is, I would say it's your purpose. Is that what some people call your magic bullet, your zone of genius? And that doesn't show up until maybe your 20s or 30s, maybe even later, maybe 40s. That thing that you feel like, you know, this is me, this is my sweet spot. And it's not just a matter of money or success, but a matter of joy, a matter of peace, a matter of helping other people through this thing that you believe is yours, that has been God-given, your gift, you could call it, your calling. Some people call it your dharma, your purpose. You know, this is a great book back in the day, your purpose-driven life. So what is your purpose? Now, some people, it's not financial. It's to serve and to give. Even if they don't have a lot of money, it's to give and help other people. That is their purpose. For me, my purpose is the church, the body of Christ. I love helping the church grow and become strong and discipled and know who Jesus is through music, through the Word of God, all that I do, mentoring, coaching, my streams here. I love that stuff. I love talking to people. I love helping them. Now, I don't like talking about anything like, I don't know, the weather or about airplanes. I don't know much about that. I love that stuff. I love airplanes or cars. I mean, but my thing, my purpose is to talk to people and sing about Jesus to encourage and to build people up, whoever they are, whether they know Jesus, they don't, they go to church or not, because I know that God's given me that gift, that calling. Now, there are a lot of things that I have to do at work and at life and in just in general. But when it comes to, like people say, you cut me open or cut me in half, what comes out is the church, is Jesus. I've tried not a lot of things, but I've tried a couple things. Being a business guy, I've tried some of this online stuff. Always when it comes to, always with spiritual things in mind. And I wouldn't say that the online thing is anything separate from my ministry. I've tried, I try to be a teacher for a season. I even applied to be like a director of a computer lab. Because in college, I was a teacher, a computer teacher, a mentor. And so, it was a job. But anyway, and my undergrad is in computer science. I have two degrees. I took two majors and combined them into one, computer science. Computer engineering. So the stuff that Jeff Bezos and Mark Z and Elon Musk, all these guys that are billionaires and geniuses, I have that same degree and I have that same kind of mind. I'm not a billionaire, nor am I going to say that I'm smart like them, but I think that way. But that's not my calling. I never worked one day. Well, I did work a few years, you could say. But it wasn't really my calling, my dharma, my purpose, my longing, my zone of genius will always be. So for you, you have to understand and discover, it's a discovery, what is your purpose? Something that in your 20s can be hard to figure out, but you might have hints. How do you know people? People are the best way. They also say, whatever makes you money. I don't mean like you're working at McDonald's, but I mean like you're doing something and people want to give you money for it. Let's say you're just great at customer service. You don't have to work at Verizon the rest of your life, but you can say, wow, it seems like people really enjoy being around me. So maybe I should go into sales, into X, Y, politician. Be a lawyer, be a speaker, be a teacher, be all these things, right? Be a principal, be an attorney, be a, you name it, right? And so you have hints. And you also need to begin to cross things out. I wanted to be a pediatrician when I was young. My mom tells me, I don't remember, when I was like 5, 6, 7. And guess what? I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I work with kids now. I first began to sub, and I kind of, anyway, it's not about me. My point is, you begin to cross things out. So I'm not a teacher, but I work with kids in music and church and stuff like that as a pastor. I've been a senior pastor, a lead pastor. I've been a pastor my whole life since I was really 18, 19, 20. And so you begin to see these things, but then you also begin to cross things out. Even though your father might be something and you want to be like your father, obviously, maybe that's not for you. Now, some people that don't have that path, maybe they're working a 9-to-5 that is boring and horrible and just pays the bills, and you can follow your dharma, your purpose, your calling at night, on the weekends. Great, do that. I have a bunch of friends that do that. Not everyone has the privilege to do both things for money, both your purpose and your 9-to-5. If you do, you are blessed. And then you get older, you retire, and maybe you can live a normal life. Or I don't know. I don't want to retire ever. So I love doing music and the church. I would say at the top of the pyramid, so that's like your purpose. I said at the very top is love. You know, obviously Paul says that you can have all these gifts, but if you do not have love, then you're just a noisy cymbal. I have a bunch of cymbals here, and they sound beautiful, but if I play them too long, too loud, and with no balance and no control, wow, kills my ears. That's what it's like to have all these things, but you have no love. If you are hateful, judgmental, critical, angry, selfish, envious, angry men, right? We deal with anger, jealousy, envy, resentment, lying, deception, narcissism, vanity, Machiavellian, which is like being evil, all these things, right? The what's that called? The dark triad. There are three dark things that men deal with. I think all humans, but we're talking to my son, right? To young men. You have to know that about you. If you're sexually deviant, if you're promiscuous, if you are a liar, deceiver, conniver, if you are double-minded, if you are full of vanity, if you are a gambler and an addict, if you're violent. These are the things, right? The seven deadly sins. This is the real stuff. Lust and pride and ego. And like I said, the dark triad. Study all these things. Actually, what's his name? My goodness. Ty Lopez. Jeez. My Alzheimer's. Ty Lopez talks a lot about the dark triad. And I learn a lot in terms of that. I mean, he's a scam artist. But when he talks about personality stuff, I've looked it up and it's true. These are actual psychological traits that men deal with. There goes a truck. And so you have to know your weakness. To thyself be true. You have to be very aware and very honest with your weakness. Your weaknesses will be with you for the rest of your life. I've had the same weaknesses since I was, 10. same things where I go south, where I go off the rails, where I go sideways. And I've built so many things around me, people, friends, accountability, and I still screw up and I still go back to the, it's not porn, it's not that, it's just simply attitudes, you know, things that I allow myself to kind of just go there. And so I have to be very aware. And sometimes I get in trouble and I have to say, man, it caught me again. It got me. I was dealing with something and I kind of went there. I'm not a drinker. I'm not a porn guy. I'm not, you know, it's just, I have to be aware. So you have to know your weakness. You can hide it from others, but you can't hide it from yourself. And eventually you will hurt somebody else, people you love, people at work, people at church, your ministry, your kids, your wife, your husband, your friends, because it'll affect them. And so get help. If it is addictions, if it is sexual stuff, if it is gambling or drinking or addictions or drugs, or don't lie to yourself saying, oh, I'm fine, it doesn't hurt anybody. It is hurting you. And because we're connected to the people that we love, your parents, your siblings, your wife, son, daughter, whatever, right? People at work, church, it's going to affect them too. So there is no such thing as it doesn't hurt anyone. It's not hurting anyone. Of course it is. You and whoever you love. And most of all, it's hurting God. I don't mean like he's like, oh, I'm crying, but it's hurting his purpose in your life. His kingdom. I'm looking for possums. See if there's a possum over there. I don't think so. Or skunks, you know. This is the time, right? 8 o'clock. What time is it? Something. 8:30? 8:17. Anyway, so these are the things. I would say that's the pyramid that I talk to my son about all the time. There are more specific things, nuances, debt. I talk to him about debt. I talk to him about making money. I talk to him about sexual stuff, addictions. I talk to him about cars. I'm not a car guy, but, you know, maintaining your car and having a, being presentable and being a, knowing cultures. If you're not a white man, it's very important to know how to navigate the white world that we live in. If you're a Hispanic or African-American or Indian or Asian-American or many other things, combination of the two, you have to know how to navigate this world, especially if you're a dark-skinned male. You better know how to manage that, what people think of you the minute that you open your mouth or just simply show up. When I show up with my hoodie or my Dodger jacket and my ponytail and my dark skin, you better believe, even to this day, people that I've known for many years, they were like, oh, who is this guy? Danger, danger, until they get to know me. And you have to work, definitely. And it's not just men. I'm just talking to men. But I know women, different people, different sizes, disabled. I mean, you have all kinds of stuff. So I'm not talking, I'm not saying that only men of color. You don't have to be a man of color. You can be a white man who is, I don't know, who just people don't like for some reason because you're loud or you're more feminine or you're small or you're whatever it is, short. And so or you're aggressive, you know, but just talking again to what I know, if you're a man of color, you better be aware, no matter how young, how old you are, no matter how cool you are, how in with the white crowd you are, you better understand from your father or a mentor, if you don't have a father or a man of color, what to do, how to navigate, how, even working with other Hispanics, other people of color, all that is very important. But again, those are some of the nuances that you have to learn from your father. And if you don't have a father, that's why I do this show. And of course, you need a mentor, friends. No, not friends, mentors. You need older men in your life. It's biblical. Older men teach the younger men. Older women teach the younger women, so that they learn the ways of the home and family and God. You have to know these things. You have to learn. And so, obviously, my family, I come from a Hispanic family that's known for music and Jesus and education. My mom is an educator to this day. I love you, mami gozo, mami gozo. My father, who's in heaven, was a musician, nonprofit leader, a pastor. My sisters are in technology and, you could say, education to some degree. And then my wife is a principal and teacher, educator. Her father was a doctor of ministry, and his wife was a nurse. Our kids are young. They're in their 20s, but they're into either teaching psychology and design. Of course, I'm a pastor and musician, a speaker, media stuff. My wife, as I said, is a principal and teacher. So that's who we're going to produce, obviously, right? Something along those lines, or maybe not. I mean, it could be something totally radical. But you have to know where you come from, because that's going to design or affect 80% of who you're going to become in all these things that I'm talking about. And if you don't have examples that you want to follow, then you need to find, you better find good examples and hang on to those people. Hang on to those mentors and friends that lead you up, upward. And if you go sideways, which you will, which I have, which is a part of life, first, don't make the same mistake over and over again. Find help, get help, therapy. I'm in therapy. I go to counseling. I've spent $100,000 in counseling. And I still make mistakes, but it's helped me tremendously to be aware, to say I'm sorry, to correct, all that stuff, right? And doctors, of course, therapists, blah, blah. So you have to find help. Pastors, teachers, mentors, coaches, if you're into sports. Michael Jackson, he had his father, but his father was very mean and aggressive, very strict. And so guess what? He didn't leave him a dime when Michael Jackson died. Can you believe that? Whitney Houston's father, I think he got divorced from his wife. I don't know what happened there. Of course, he loved his mom, Sissy. Bobby Brown, as I said. And these are like famous people, right? Who cares? They're just everywhere. We know because we love these people. But your father, your mother, follow their, trace their family tree back. Trace your family tree back. What are the mistakes they made? What are the successes they had? Who are they? I have a friend, shout out to 562. He talks about how his father always told him to wear a suit to church. And he's like, ah. And then when his father passed away, rest in peace, just a few months ago, a year ago or so, one of the first things the son did was go to church in a suit. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful example, right? That's the kind of stuff that you want to listen to your father now before it's too late. On those little things, you're not going to like some things that he says. I mean, there's some things that I've said to my son. I'm like, that was dumb. And I tell him later, son, I'm sorry I said that. Or that I got upset, or that I ignore that, or whatever it may be. I don't know how to do that. And he asked me recently, what mistakes have you made? And I gave him, not like the long laundry list, but I gave him like three or four things, because he needs to know. Within reason, of course, right? And so all that is part of learning and knowing who you are, where you come from, where you're going. Because guess what? My son and grandkids and great-grandkids, God willing, I don't know, probably not, but generations after you will learn from your mistakes. And it doesn't have to always be from your mistakes, also from your wins. Why don't you be the winner in your life, in your family tree? That's what we all want, right? To leave our kids better off than us. Of course. I that's what my father wanted, and that's why he sacrificed everything for me, my mom and dad, my grandmother, my uncles. They gave me everything so I could live, literally live, be alive because of a war when I was 11, 12. So those are the things that I tell my son, and I would tell you, my son. I have many spiritual sons that call me their spiritual father, and I'm blessed by that. I don't always... I'm very human. I'm very imperfect. But what I do is say I'm sorry and keep growing, keep changing, because people want me to be their mentor and a father figure. And nobody wants their father to fall off. We do, but I'll close with this. You know, I was listening to LeVar Ball, and at first I thought that him having his foot cut off was like a prank, but I guess he had diabetes so bad that he was in the hospital for a month and then had all these blood transfusions, and he had his toe cut off and then his foot and then his whole leg, I mean, up to his knee. LeVar Ball of, like, you know, Lonzo and D'Angelo and, well, I don't know all their names. The three kids are all NBA players, all millionaires. The wife had a major stroke like 10 years ago. She can hardly walk and talk. And now LeVar Ball is in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He's like 50-something like me. Because he ignored some diabetes on his foot and they had to cut off his foot. my point, what is my point with that? I guess my point with that is that even though LeVar Ball, you could say, messed up in that area of taking care of his foot, taking care of, like many men, I do, like many, especially black or Hispanic men, or we don't take care of our bodies, right? Doctors and all that stuff, like, it'll heal. And that's not just black men, right? In general, we don't like that, to take care of ourselves. But even though this man lost his foot, look at the, and his wife is, like I said, paralyzed pretty much. Look at what this man has done. Did, he's barely 50 something. Three young men in the NBA. And from what it seems like, they're good men. They're not out there sleeping around having a bunch of baby mamas. And now, you know, they're NBA stars and one's a rapper. So, I mean, but from what I can tell, they have a girlfriend or a wife or one woman and one, two kids. So, and they live at home or they're close to their, they love their mom and dad and they're very close. Again, I don't know them, but just from what I see, right? I thought, even if the father is now suffering and is now maybe paying the consequences of this one area of his life, look at all the rest that he's done right. Look at the legacy. And even in his illness and his, I mean, amputation, my goodness, his attitude is so positive. And he's being a blessing. And he's on YouTube. Just check it out. He just did an interview, I think, this week, saying, hey, look at my kids, look at my kids. He's not focusing on his foot or his, you know, he is saying, hey, get checked out and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. But he's saying, my kids, my three sons, my wife. What an example, man, LeVar Ball is. What an example. No matter what people have said about him, what an example, especially as an African. And it's ironic because he talks about being a black man in the hospital. And why, and I agree. You know, like, there's so many things that we as men of color deal with that is, that affects our health, affects our money, affects our job, that people don't care about. And we have to talk about it. I know I've been wrongly criticized just for being a man of color, my personality, and just who I am my whole life. And I've suffered the consequences of that and tried to overcome it. And I keep trying to do that. And some of it, of course, is just stupid things that I've done, but a lot of it is just being an outsider, not being in my community. And so, like I said, you have to talk about that too. But anyway, my point was that LeVar Ball, what a great example. So if you are a father and you have made some mistakes, maybe your foot hasn't been cut off, but there's something in your life that isn't perfect, that is broken, that is not as it should be, that you messed up in that area. You keep going and keep loving those sons of yours. One, two, three, four, whatever you have. Daughters, of course. This is just a podcast to my son. Lessons to my son, to be an example to you. Lessons for my son. And so keep going, no matter how broken you are. I know my father had brokenness in his life. I do too. And guess what? My son will, and his son. You keep going. You keep loving your wife, no matter how broken she is, how ill she is, what she's dealing with. If to push her wheelchair, if you have to push each other's wheelchairs, I mean, wow. I think now his wife's going to be better off. I think she can at least walk again. Now, Lamar, wow. But don't give up. Don't end your life. Don't give in to drinking or drugs or poverty or depression or any of that stupid stuff. Keep going. Go to the doctor. Get checked out. My father-in-law, I'll close with this. He died when he was 78, just about a year and a half ago. The day before he passed away, he was praying for people. He had a notebook of people that he was praying for. A doctor of ministry, a man who changed my life 100 times, pastor to hundreds of churches and thousands of people. Everyone called him his best friend, their best friend. At the end of his life, he wasn't counting his money. He wasn't looking at his cars. He wasn't checking out his assets or his investments. He was praying for people. What the heck, man? Now, he did all those things. He took care of all those other things. His wife, his finances, his ministry, his character, his life, his house. He loved his cars, his Volvo cars. Shout out to Volvo. Lexus later in life. But at the end, and through his life, he was a praying man. Let's be those kinds of men, young men. What a beautiful legacy. If you need my coaching, I'm here. I have paid services. I offer a free one-on-one complimentary first session, and then I have paid services for millions of dollars. We can do it through Zoom, one-on-one, in person, here in my garage. We can do it on the phone, text, email. Email me, DM me, text me, whatever you want. And let's set something up. Thanks for being here. It's a good one, huh? I'll see you next time. Adios.